is the Monday Mindset Podcast, where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 41.
So this week, Daisy and I thought we would once again take some time out to do a bit of reflecting on our recent episodes since our last reflection time. So Daisy, let's start with you. What are some thoughts you have about the past 8 weeks and episodes that we have been sharing?
Well, certainly what I've been focusing on is all around small habits and ways of getting them to stick. I think it's definitely something that interests me, partly probably because it challenges me. So whenever it's something, a change that I want to make in my own life, I guess it's something I keep digging into from different directions. So I've quite enjoyed pulling out the little book, the Kaizen Way book, and going back over some of that information, but then also coming in from different directions with James Clear's ideas, which I found really helpful to layer up the two, thinking about the small habits. And I think, and we've talked about this before, about how often things sound really good in theory and they can be really inspiring and you can think, yeah, that's really good, that's a really good idea, but the actual putting them into practice can be more difficult. So I really like the way he talks about small habits, his atomic habits, and he digs into that. But what I really like about, he seems to take a real practical approach and really try and help people with making these habits stick. And so that's something that's been going over and over in my mind about mostly his tips about how to try and implement some of these small changes, because I've definitely seen how that works. How, you know, the way Robert Mora talks about sort of tiptoeing around the amygdala and not setting off that, you know, fight or flight or freeze mechanism, just trying to sort of tiptoe around with these small habits, and how that can be really effective in not only triggering that response, but building these new neural pathways. But it is getting them to stick. And so I really like some of James Clear's tips and things like creating friction or removing friction, the social connection, which I really think is important. And of course, the identity-based habits that I've always come back to, especially with Gretchen Rubin's work. I think he talks about how key that is if you really want to make a habit change, is that it's got to be a change to your identity as well as tying it in with this social connection. But I also think, and I was struck this morning actually with that he mentioned about the timing of introducing new habits and also the attaching to existing habits. And I take my thyroid tablets usually, you know, I take them as part of my morning and evening routine. So it's attached onto a routine that's already there. You know, when I get up, I go into the bathroom, I clean my teeth, take my thyroid tablets, and something interrupted that routine and I got pulled away, and so the routine was just disrupted. And I suddenly realized half an hour later, hold on a minute, I didn't take my thyroid tablets. So that just sort of alerted me to the fact of how easily something was disrupted and a change to it, how effective that is for implementing new habits, is just tacking it onto something that you do without thinking.
And likewise, when you're working to extinguish old habits, disrupting the pattern and disconnecting it from what you have it associated with can be a big step as well.
Because I thought it was so obvious, but when he was saying it's a bit of a myth about it being difficult to get new habits to stick. And actually, when you think about it, you know, sometimes it's so easy to get habits to stick when you have to, because there's a change in your environment. And yes, I just found that interesting with something like that that happened, that when you think about it, gosh, yes, there are so many habits that were new at one point that you just don't even think about anymore, because they're so much a part of your routine. So it's just finding a way of, yeah, making that happen with, as he talks about, habits that you're choosing to change rather than having to because of a change of environment or context or social expectation.
It's interesting that you brought up your highlight in a way of the observation that you have brought four episodes that were focused on small habits and habit change. And when I reflect then based on that, that my four episodes have been all focused on some level of kind of our emotional state, being happier, feeling better about yourself, your self-talk, those kinds of things, self-compassion, and the last one being with kind of paying attention again, where your energy and what you're asking for in a way from the universe and what will be returned to you. In some ways, it's kind of funny to me that yours were of one category, mine were of another category. But in the work that I do as a coach and my former career as a psychologist, those were the two most prominent areas for me. Mm. So it really made sense as I was just listening to you talk about, like, of course we've chosen these two categories, because I think my sense is that they are very significant to experience the life that we want, you know, achieve the things we want, work on the things that we need to change. And also, I think because we started this portion of episodes at the start of the new year, that that's often a time of year when people are in that reflective place about how they want this year to go and how they want their lives to go forward from here. So it made a lot of sense to me just thinking about how each of us have chosen the topics that we have chosen.
Yes, and actually now you come to mention it, that sort of bouncing back from one thing to the other, habit change and how potentially that can bring up emotional aspects to people's lives, whether it be the difficulty of making that change or the potential for beating themselves up if they don't feel that they've stuck to the, you know, the new goals that they've set, especially at the beginning of the year. So it is quite kind of a natural sort of seesaw between the two, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But I really liked in particular your episode about self-compassion and how just looking at it from a sort of scientific study point of view, that actually the most productive group in the study that you mentioned were the ones who used self-compassion. So actually, you know, it's the kindest way of treating yourself. But actually, and as you mentioned in that episode, we often sort of struggle against it a little bit because maybe we feel like it's being selfish or it's being too soft on ourselves, whatever it is. But actually, no, this is a really good approach if you want to be more productive.
Absolutely.
So I really liked that way of looking at it.
And I see that a lot in people, that maybe we were brought up in a home that you didn't get a lot of positive feedback, that you were just kind of taught to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep going. So self-compassion feels a little awkward and unnecessary. But as you just keep bringing it back, it's actually an effective way. And there are studies that show it has positive effects on our health. So it's not just a, you know, feeling good about yourself kind of thing. And some people dismiss it as such. So I'm glad that you highlighted that one, because that is a topic that I talk about daily in my work. I think it's fundamental for all of us. So definitely an important episode for me.
And the importance of feeling, you know, that was another, you had an episode dedicated to that, but that's also a theme that, you know, that ties in well with that, doesn't it? That just that importance of sitting with your feelings and feeling them and allowing yourself to feel them and not trying to dismiss them, not trying to counter them, but actually working with them in a compassionate way.
And sometimes when I talk about that with people, they bring up some really insightful things that have helped me to have to adjust somehow how I even talk about it, in that I think many of us are still focused on, okay, if I allow the feelings and acknowledge the feelings, then I have to solve the feelings. And that's not always necessary either. Sometimes it's the act of acknowledging and observing and just letting them float away, letting them release, that actually can be healing. But again, it's that we're not actively avoiding them or pushing them away or shoving them down. But the idea that it doesn't mean we have to know what to do with the feeling, that we can just be with it, acknowledge it, and let it float.
Yeah, because I think there's that fear of being overwhelmed sometimes by feelings, isn't there?
And the nice thing about part of our physiology is that that doesn't happen. We don't sustain a feeling state for very long. The reason we keep coming back to the feeling state is because we keep thinking about the thought or the action, the event, whatever. And so we can return to that feeling state. But what many of us, as you said, the fear is, I will get into that difficult feeling state and I will stay there. I'll never feel relief again. And again, I totally get that. But we have mechanisms that prevent that from happening. I think, Daisy, for me, one of the things that I appreciate so much, because I had been planning to do an episode about James Clear and Atomic Habits, and it felt a little overwhelming to me. So much in that book, so much to talk about and to cover. And you found that episode to share and were able to cover so many of the important concepts. So I was so appreciative that you actually were the one that introduced the James Clear topic for us.
Yeah, so it's funny. So I'm still thinking about what's going to be my main book for my drive back. And now I'm sort of thinking about the timeline, because I've been working you hard, Terry, haven't I? I've had you recording every weekend in January so that I can get ahead with the editing. So I'm trying to rapidly work out in my head where in the timeline this is actually coming out. But I think I'm probably in the UK now.
I think that's right.
Except, of course, I'm not, as we're recording it. It's about two weeks before I go. But I think by the time this comes out, I'll have actually been back, maybe even for a couple of weeks. It always does my head in a little bit, that, when I'm trying to. That's why I always give up with trying to be accurate with the time. Line.
It is a little confusing. Even as we were talking about doing this, I had to think about which ones we had already released and which ones we have recorded that have not come out yet. So I hope it all makes sense for all of the listeners, but you and I have had to do a little bit of work in our heads to make sure we're addressing the right episodes.
So it's funny to think that when we start recording again after these two episodes we're recording this evening, we'll not only be heading into spring, but I'll be doing so in a completely different country.
Very excited to get to start recording again with new environment, new background. As we're talking, though, people listening to us only hear our audio, you and I are on video while we're doing this. So I get to see what's going on in your home and you see what's going on in mine. We take out lots of breaks for me wrangling my dogs and trying to get them, you moving your snoring dog, getting her to get in a different position, having an emergency litter box situation. So lots of fun stuff happens on video that the listeners do not experience.
Yes, and you'll have a different backdrop. But it feels that, I don't know, I have a feeling of change, obviously, this year, but it feels like heading into spring and warmer weather and a feeling of maybe everywhere, just a little bit, I don't know, a feeling of change and hope and fresh starts and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. That is the feeling of spring. It's...
Yes.
I can't even think of the word right now, but it means rebirth and renewal. So I think that's coming for us, Daisy. And I hope our listeners are experiencing the beginning of that when they hear this episode. And I look forward to seeing you on the other side of your move.
Yes. So on that note, I hope you have a very lovely week. And I'll see you on the other side.
Take good care, everybody.